You're listening to Beyond the Body, a talk show that dives into all things health, wealth, and happiness to help you find balance in the crazy lives that we live. I'm Thomas Granger, international wellness coach and creative producer. From tackling eating disorders to traveling the world on peanuts, this is your one-stop shop for all things inspiration. Let's go beyond the body. I'm here today with Eleanor, and she is one of the editors of Vegan Independent and an avid pro-activist when it comes to all things vegan lifestyle. How are you today, Eleanor?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastically, thanks. So I suppose we get started by asking you a little bit about your history of being a vegan, because I know this is a very important aspect of your life, and I want to just break it down and have our listeners get to kind of know you and find out what your story is when it comes to being a vegan.
Okay, so basically when I was about, I'd say 14, I decided to go vegetarian. I'm not exactly sure what made me want to now. I can't really remember, but I remember watching Earthlings and a few other bits and pieces on the internet, and I decided to go vegetarian. And then as I went through my teenage years, I decided that it was a bit hypocritical of me to think I was doing fine by the animals but not being vegan. So it was about 2 years now, 2 years ago, that I went vegan, and pretty much since then my whole life has changed in terms of me being passionate about certain things and wanting to do certain things. And yeah, it's really shaped what I've wanted to do with my life and the people I've met and the things that I consider important.
Fantastic. Okay, so 14, you were a vegetarian and then you turned to a vegan 2 years ago. So what kind of things have you been up to? What kind of has shaped your experience as being a vegan? What changes have you made in your life?
Apart from the obvious in terms of what I eat, and or what I don't eat rather, and the products I use and making sure things are animal friendly, it's really changed the type of people I hang out with. Not to say that I only associate with vegans or animal activists, but I mean in terms of like the events I go to and the people I try and network with, so that I can, you know, make meaningful contributions to different aspects of the animal rights movement. But apart from that, I guess I'm pretty normal. Like I don't go out every day and, you know, my mind isn't 100% always on what can I do right now for animals, because I think that can be quite damaging. If you're always in that state of mind, you can never really relax. But yeah.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. If you're fixated on one thing and it just becomes almost where it takes over your enjoyment, because you worry about everything that you're doing that could possibly be having some impact. I don't know if you've listened to our podcast before, but we've had Jennifer Duke on. She was from Melbourne, but now she's just moved back to Sydney. A huge activist. She's a journalist in all things vegan. Make some amazing foods that are all vegan, which I don't even know how they're vegan because they don't look vegan. They look amazing. Anyway, she talks about how, you know, sometimes there's criticism within the own vegan community about people who are vegan accidentally, you know, doing something that's not necessarily vegan. For example, driving a car, and the fact that there could be potentially some form of animal product in the wheels of the car that you're driving. And she says, like, you've got to draw a line, you know, somewhere. Like, she does everything she possibly can, but there's times where you might incidentally not know that, you know, you got to get on a bus where the bus wheels might have some sort of animal product in them in some way. So for you, I guess it's important to do the most you can, but also to have that sort of flexibility to an extent. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes I feel like vegans are our own worst enemy. I think there's a real myth out there that there's, you know, non-vegan vegan police, but really the people who are going to shut you down and say you're doing veganism wrong are the vegans. And I think that's quite damaging within the vegan community, because there's no such thing as a perfect vegan. And as long as you're going through life trying to do the least harm possible and trying to contribute to broader change, that's all you can really ask of yourself and of other vegans. I mean, you're going to turn people off veganism and animal rights if you go around saying don't get on that bus, don't buy that secondhand car because the seats are leather, or, throw out those old leather shoes right away. I mean, it's quite a confronting thing to go vegan, or to get involved in animal rights. And the last thing you want is people who are a bit, how should I say it, confrontational about it.
And condescending as well, I would imagine at times,
Yeah,
or
exactly.
critical when you may have accidentally had a slip up and accidentally consumed something that you didn't realize had a derivative of an animal product, maybe some gelatin added or something like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I do that all the, not all the time, obviously, but I mean, it happens, and you can't beat yourself up about it, because, like you said before, then you'll just get into a kind of state where you're constantly criticizing yourself, and that's not healthy.
Exactly. So I suppose it's kind of obvious then that your personal reasons for going vegan was about animal protection and awareness and social consciousness and that sort of thing. Were there any other reasons why you decided to become a vegan or?
It was mainly the animals. I think that's what opened my mind to veganism. But once I did my research about the environment, about human health, and about the broader implications of the animal agriculture industry, that's when I decided, it's not just a thing to do for your ethical beliefs. It's something that everyone can do for a multitude of reasons. But to me, it was primarily an ethical reason, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Cool. So, what would be your top tips then for people who maybe are considering going vegan or, where would they get started? Because I know for a lot of people, these ideas, they might consider doing it, but they feel like it could be overwhelming. They don't know how to start. They don't know what to do. So, what are your top tips, I suppose, from your own experiences?
Oh, okay. Going off my own experiences, I was quite alone in my decision to go vegan, and I think it would have helped if I'd had a friend or an acquaintance that I could go to and say, "Hey, can you help me with this?" So I think it's important to surround yourself with a couple of people who have been vegan for a little while, or even just gone vegan. Maybe you want to go vegan with them, so you don't feel quite so alone. But apart from that, I mean, everything is at your fingertips, literally, when it comes to the internet. So it's very easy to find online communities, or just websites with resources to do with anything from food to products to how to get around tricky social situations and that kind of thing. You can find that anywhere on the internet if you know the right things to search for.
Fantastic. So when it comes to social situations, then I suppose it could be difficult at times, say a friend invites you to go and eat out. I know like from my own personal experiences, it can be quite challenging. So what exactly do you do when you're facing those situations? You're invited out to a dinner or something like that.
I'm quite lucky in that my family is all very supportive now, and my friends as well, even if they're not vegan themselves. But in the beginning, you just have to stay true to who you are, and it can be hard, I'll admit, in the beginning, to have the guts to stand up and say, "Oh, I don't want to eat anything from this menu, and I might have to order something that I'll have to change the lists of the ingredients of." Sorry. So I think if you're going to a restaurant and it's not a vegetarian or vegan friendly restaurant, you have to keep in mind that the customer is always right, so to say. But do it politely. Ask the wait staff, or if it's a small cafe, ask the chef if they can do anything vegan for you. And it doesn't have to be something grand and complex. It can just be a really simple salad or some rice and some vegetables, and it's fine to not want to eat extravagantly when you go out to eat, because that can make things a bit awkward if people are already judging your food. But apart from that, it really just helps to prepare, find out where you're going, and check the menu, and just hopefully you're going with people who are quite understanding.
Okay, cool. So it's not too challenging then. So for those who are kind of concerned, I know that there's a website called Happy Cow, is it, that you can look up and it has a list of all the places that are sort of either vegetarian or vegan friendly in the city you're visiting or that you're living in?
Yeah, that's a really great tool, actually. It divides restaurants into where they are, whether they're vegan, vegetarian, or just vegetarian and vegan friendly. And Yeah, that's another thing. If you want to go somewhere where you know you can get food, maybe you can ask your friends, hey, should we go to a vegan restaurant instead this time? It might be more fun for all of us.
Okay, that's a good idea. So just suggesting it, because I know a lot of people might say, oh, vegan, not nice, not flavorful, which is not true at all. And I suppose if people just have the willingness to give it a go, try it out, I suppose it depends where you live as well. I know if you're living in Sydney that it's very easy to come by, I suppose, vegan places where it's quite trendy to have vegan parts of the menu or that sort of thing. Or where I live here in Germany, the city I live in, it's easier to come by vegan food than non-vegan food. So I suppose it's just also where you live. I know that some people say different areas of different cultures and stuff, it's very hard, but there's always a solution. And people would be surprised at how many things that they would eat in their everyday life are already vegan.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What are some things that people need to watch out for though when they're becoming a vegan?
Little products that you may suspect are vegan or assume are vegan, but they're not. A lot of additives that you might want to look into. So a lot of food additives, you know, the flavors and the colors that all have numbers. There's lists you can find out there to find out which additives aren't vegan. And then of course there's all the things like gelatin and I think it's pronounced cochineal. It's a color made from crushed beetles to
Yes,
give
that's right.
lollies and that kind of thing a red color. Just little products like these that you don't necessarily know what they are, but a lot of the time they can be from animal sources. So usually it's best to just look at the package. These days companies are quite proud if something of theirs is vegan, so it would say on. But apart from that, just do a little bit of research, and soon it's second nature to know, oh, that's vegan and that's not.
I definitely. Also, from my own experience, I found that when in doubt, the best option is to go for the organic one because it's less inclined to have those additives and colors and things that would be of a non-vegan derivative. So obviously an animal product, because a lot of the time they have to disclose these things on the packaging a lot more strictly. So that's always an option as well when it comes to that sort of thing. So to help people kind of figure out what they can and can't eat and that sort of thing, what would be your replacement then for things such as, milk and protein sources and that sort of thing, so people can get their head around exactly what is a good vegan healthy choices rather than, because I know some people can be, there's such a thing as, a good vegan and a bad vegan. And I know we don't like to use labels, but say the good vegan would be the person that's aware of, getting their nutrients and their vitamins in, whereas the bad vegan would be the person that just pulls out the bowl of cereal and add soy milks and just eats bread and pasta all day long and that's it. Like just getting one food group pretty much, carbs.
It's really important to not be the so-called junk food vegan where you just eat, I don't know, white bread and non animal cheese, you know, like soy cheese or
Soy cheese
something.
or Vegemite on toast every day, you know.
Exactly. It can be easy to fall into bad patterns like that. So it's always good, especially when you're starting out, to have a bit of a meal plan, buy in advance, and obviously it doesn't have to be expensive, you know. You can buy things like lentils and beans and peas and other legumes. You can buy them, you don't have to buy them fresh because that's obviously more expensive than buying them in cans or frozen. But you can do a lot of things with these versatile foods. And tofu as well. I mean, it's quite the cliche to say tofu, but I mean, you can do so many things with tofu, from making desserts like kind of cheesecake type things to having scrambled tofu in replacement of scrambled eggs. With beans, you can do a whole, like, just it's endless. You can make veggie burgers, you can make like rice and bean type Mexican bowl type
Oh,
things.
they're amazing. I love them.
You can, so it really helps to have a bit of a plan. And I think what's important is when you go vegan, don't try and have foods just because they're vegan. Think about what you liked before you went vegan and then make similar things to those, because otherwise you're going to be trying things that you're not familiar with, and it's all just going to seem very unfamiliar and a bit maybe too much of a leap to begin with. But soon enough you'll have an idea of what you like, and then you'll get a bit more adventurous.
Yeah, I think that's really important that you don't stray away too much from, what you like and you treat it like it's almost like an obligation, a chore, because then you're never gonna one, stick to it, and two, it kind of defies the purpose of engaging in something to begin with if you don't really believe in it. But yeah, there's so many websites out there now that are dedicated to like raw vegan cooking and paleo vegan, which I know is quite a big trend at the moment. The paleo diet, but specifically paleo vegan, so only eating paleo friendly, vegan friendly foods. I suppose though you've got to be accommodating, I like to say on this show, to be a bit open and not too restrictive as well, particularly if you're a vegan, because you can't eat a lot of foods that say even a vegetarian can eat, because a lot of people say, okay, vegetarians consume a lot of eggs because it's one of their primary protein sources. But for, I suppose, a vegan to sit and then say they're going to cut out all grains and that sort of thing is probably a little bit too extreme, because you do need to get a variety of foods in your diet. So I suppose combining different grains, you know, with beans and legumes and that sort of thing to get as much variety as you possibly can is really important. So what kind of things do you like to cook and eat? I know, like, I made this fantastic raw vegan cheesecake late last year that was just really good. I mean, it took forever, but it was worth everything. Like, making the cheese out of cashews, which you have to soak and then add, I think it was agave to it, and then you like soak that and you make that, and then you make it the base out of dates and almonds, so it was like paleo friendly as well, and it was amazing. But what kind of things do you like to make, and how do you go about that?
I can't say that I ever really make anything that complex and involved. Maybe it's just a time thing, maybe I'm just lazy, but I'd like to eat pretty simply. I mean, it's fine to want to do those kind of more complex things, but like you said, if you're just doing it for the sake of doing it and not really engaged in it, then it can make things a bit more harder than it has to be. Mm-hmm. But the kind of things, like, I'll have a breakfast of something like oats or toast and some fruit, and then usually for lunch and dinner I have similar things, but anything from okay, what did I eat today? I had some burritos, which I made homemade, of course. So, for example, what would a normal burrito have? It would just have meat and some
probably,
salad, I guess.
Some salad and some sour cream, often in a burrito, I guess, and cheese. Probably people probably want cheese in it as well, and, you know, a whole lot of stuff with either chicken or beef or something, I guess.
Okay, and mine was rice, kidney beans, corn, some taco like flavoring, some salsa and some avocado, and some lettuce, obviously.
Perfect.
So that went down really well, and as you can see, it doesn't really feel like you're missing anything because you've got all these different components. It's not like you're just eating like a tortilla with some beans in it or something like that, you
no,
know.
Exactly.
it's a hard meal. I mean, it changes from day to day, but it's kind of strange for me to picture what I eat now, because I can barely remember what I ate before I went vegan. I know I wouldn't have eaten as well as I'm eating now. I think before I went vegan, when I was vegetarian, I was quite lazy, lived at home, just got whatever was in the whatever was in the fridge or the cupboard, and now I have control over my food, and it's a lot more satisfying to make meals that I know are ethical and also
of course, like the frozen nuggets, the fake nuggets, and bags of chips and that sort of thing, where it's just like you open it and eat it, sort of.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a big fan of fried foods, so
They're not the healthiest, especially when they're processed like that, and they're less likely to be vegan as well, more vegetarian, when they've got different, you know, flavor enhancers and that sort of thing that do often come from animal derivatives of some kind. It's funny that some people think that, you know, like, chicken noodles, they're not necessarily vegans. You have to check these things before you eat them, you know. They do often have, you know, chicken stock in, and they come from the grinding of chicken bones and that sort of thing. So for those of you, like, it's takes a bit of commitment, we have to admit, and that it's just a matter of being conscious of these things, I think. And now's the time, more than any other time, to kind of, if you are interested, to try and you give it a go, because there is so many resources online. I think we're almost spoiled for choice as to what we could cook or make or these sorts of things as well. And just to shake it up a bit, and as you said, if you don't have a lot of time and stuff, keep it simple, but keep it things that you enjoy eating and that sort of thing is really important as well. So thanks so much for that. I want to talk a little bit about, now you're an editor for the Vegan Independent as well. So what does that involve, and how did you get started with that?
Okay, so as you might know, I'm midway through a combined journalism and international studies degree. I've pretty much finished the journalism component of it. And in the last 2.5 years, I've really become quite disenchanted with how media, both mainstream and otherwise, portrays veganism and animal rights. I mean, basically you get, well, I don't want to pigeonhole every website, but there's a lot of happy, feel-good women eating, you know, like a photo of a woman eating a, sorry, that's my phone.
That's all right.
A woman eating an apple, you know. Like, you know, those smiley photos. And
yeah,
I think
yeah,
it's
yeah.
quite deceptive and misleading of the multitude of the people who are out there who are vegan, you know, people from all different backgrounds, whether it's their religion, their race, their country of birth, where they're living. And yeah, and these stories and ideas and people aren't necessarily represented on other websites. And not only that, but in mainstream media, how often are animal rights or vegan issues trivialized or basically ignored? I mean, these kind of things never make it into mainstream media, and that's why I got quite disenchanted, and I decided to create my own website, and it's going quite well. I'm quite surprised. We've got almost 500 likes on Facebook already, 400 followers on Twitter, and we've got quite a few great interviews and fun plans lined up, and I'm really excited about where it could go. But yeah, early days yet, and I really felt like I had something to give that I couldn't give anywhere else, and I thought, well, why not start my own website?
That's fantastic. I'm so proud of you for all the, you know, standing up for what you believe in and then putting it out to there into the universe, and instead of just, you know, keeping it to yourself, to really showcase to people that have the same passion as you to go forth and, you know, put what you're studying at university into practice as well. Fantastic idea. So thanks so
Thank
much.
You so much.
Thanks so much. Is there anything you would like to add to our interview today at all about veganism, about ways of life, about you, anything really?
I guess I'd like to say that people shouldn't be intimidated by animal rights activists or animal rights in general or veganism in any way that they might see it. I think it can be quite a daunting prospect to approach veganism even just from a curiosity standpoint. I think it's a really fun and it's a great time to be vegan and to get involved in animal rights. And I think, yeah, there's so many great people that you'll meet through it. And it's just a really nice community to be a part of.
Awesome, awesome. So if people want to contact you at all and find more about veganism, or they want to, you know, follow Vegan Independent, want to maybe contribute because they're a vegan themselves, how can they get in contact with you?
We would love that. Firstly, you could like us on Facebook, just the Vegan Independent. You'll find us there. Also on Twitter. Our website is veganindependent.com. And if you want to get in touch, our current email is veganindependent@gmail.com. That might change in the near future, but I'll always have that email address in case someone tries to contact me through there. And we would love to hear from you, particularly if you want to be interviewed or if you know a good cause or someone really interesting that you think should be featured. But also if you want to contribute, we're looking for writers, artists, graphic designers, basically anyone with a creative instinct and someone who wants a way to get their, creativity and animal rights passion, to bring those together and to contribute to a wider community and a wider cause.
Awesome stuff. Okay, you heard it here first, guys. So jump on board and get in contact. Thanks so much for being a part of the show today, Eleanor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Well, that was Eleanor from Vegan Independent talking to you all things veganism and how to start a vegan lifestyle. She is a beautiful soul, a beautiful creature, and she provided some fantastic insights today. As always, don't forget to check out the website. It's beyondthebodyshow.com. That's beyondthebodyshow.com. Send me an email. Check out the website. Send it to your friends. Subscribe on iTunes. Do all that. Follow me on Twitter @Tommy_Granger. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what the show's like. Suggestions, want to be on the show? By all means, hit me up. All right. So as always, go out into the world. Be fantastic. Be yourself. Hold true to what you value. And don't let anyone tell you that anything otherwise, okay? Just because someone doesn't agree with what you believe in doesn't mean you should not send it out to the world and let your little light shine out there. Anyway, I'm going to be quiet now. I'm going to let you go off and live your day. And as always, I'd love to hear from you. So please do send me a message and I'll see you guys on the flip side.